This morning I'm going to be introducing Greg Hershberger. Greg's going to bring the message here today, and I want to pray for him. But this year is 25 years that Greg was ordained to be a pastor. 25 years this year. Some of that time was, quite a bit of that time was spent at the Columbia Mennonite Church. And the last couple years, several years that Greg and Lois have been worshiping here at Living Hope with us, but that it's almost 2 years that you were away here. Mm-hmm. Came back here right around Christmas time, but they were at interim pastor at Living Waters at Mifflin. This morning, Henry Buckwalter is preaching at the Living Waters Church, and Living Waters Church is under Henry's jurisdiction of the Harvest Fellowship. But so we're glad to have Greg here to bring the message today. Let me pray for you, brother. Lord, thank you so much for Greg and Lois and their family. Lord, I ask for your Holy Spirit, the power of your Holy Spirit, to be released today. It's already present here today. And may you continue to minister through Greg as he brings a word to us. In your name.
Well, good morning. We've already experienced a powerful example of what happens when the presence of God is here. And God is not done yet. I don't want to burst your bubble, but he's not done. He's just beginning. And who knows what God intends to do? We want to give him the freedom to whatever he wants to do. And I'm the first to say, when Jay said, "What should I say?" Just say, "I'm a servant of Jesus." That's it. All I need. I just want to do what Jesus wants me to do and serve him, and that was a call in my life. And when I met with, when Ron contacted me as far as preaching, he said, "Would you bring another message on the resurrection, resurrection power?" I said, "I'd be happy to do that." And so this morning we are going to look at the whole theme, More Than Conquerors. And I just want to think in terms of, I'm very informal. I just would rather be walking right there among you, but I'll stay up here. I'll try to stay up here. And last Sunday, if you remember, Pastor Ron, he talked about the resurrection. Why did Jesus have to die? He talked about that. He died for you and me, for everyone. But when he died, what did he conquer? He conquered something. Death, of course. He conquered death. He's alive, alive forevermore. People still try to explain it away, but it doesn't work. It doesn't work. He's alive forevermore. We know that. He lives within us. We can experience it. Many believers, unfortunately, live defeated lives, discouraged lives, but we have an opportunity to live a victorious life. We have an opportunity to be a more than a conqueror in Christ. It's available to each one of us. But are you ready for this? We have to surrender our control. Did you get that? We have to surrender. Let's make it personal. I have to surrender my control. Ouch. That's not fun. That's not pleasant. It's not easy. But after we surrender our control to Jesus, he takes over. And things happen that we can't explain. That's what God's about. The Christian life is really a mystery. It's like marriage. It's a mystery. How does that work? Ephesians talks about it being a mystery. Oh, it's not easy to surrender, but it's necessary. By the way, I have plenty of t-shirts where I didn't surrender and it didn't work out. It didn't work out. So I've been there, done that, and it still happens. It still creeps up. And my wife is not allowed to say amen at any point. There, I already talked about that. But anyway, I've tried to be in control and solve my own problems, and it doesn't work. It doesn't work. Did you realize that God wants to empower us, but we have to trust him? We have to trust him first. And by the way, fear, or be not afraid, occurs in the Bible roughly around 360 times. Why is that? because we live with fear, all kinds of fears. So there's a reason why the Bible says, fear not. Where are you this morning? I know you're going to say, I'm a living hope on Columbia Avenue. Yeah, but where are you with your focus? Is your focus on Jesus? Has your focus been on God recently? Or are you distracted? We live with distractions. Have you been distracted lately? Pastor Ron asked last week, and I wrote it down so I'd remember, do people see the resurrection life in you? He asked that last week. He also said, do you want Jesus' resurrection power in you? We're going to, we'll come back to that. We'll come back to that. But let's look at Moses real quick. In Exodus chapter 14, I want to look at something real quick. You can just listen if you'd like, or Exodus 14, 10 through 14. Here's what the Bible says. Moses was in a dire situation. It says in Exodus 14, verse 10, as Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. And they were terrified and cried out to the Lord. And they said to Moses, was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone? Let us serve the Egyptians. It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. Moses answered the people, do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. The Lord will fight for you. This is a recording. The Lord will fight for you. Did you get it? The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. You need only to be still. I'd like to read from the text, Romans 8, in your bulletin. If you have a Bible in front of you there, it tells you the page number of that. Romans 8, 28 through 39. Romans 8, beginning with verse 28 through 39. Here's what the Bible says. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake, we face death all day long. We are considered a sheep to be slaughtered. No! In all these things, we are more than conquerors. Through him, through Jesus, who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And I would say amen and amen to that. There's one other scripture I want to look at, and that's found in 2 Corinthians 2, 14 through 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. Verse 14, but thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of him. For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one we are the smell of death, to the other the fragrance of life. And who is equal to such a task? Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we just thank you for your presence here. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We just ask that your Holy Spirit would teach us, open up your word to us, give us the fresh manna that each of us needs. And I just pray that whatever you desire, Lord, thy will be done, thy kingdom come. Here, April 7th, 2013. Have your way. And Father, I choose to decrease so that you can increase. Take over in this place. We exalt you, Lord Jesus, a name above all names. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like to look at, in your bulletin, you have some things to fill in. The first thing you want to look at is, turn this gadget on, we're good to go. First thing you want to look at is that God desires for us to be more than conquerors because God accompanies us. The text says, if God is for us, I want you to focus on for us. Those two words, for us. If God is for us, you can make it personal. If God is for me, who can be against me? If God is for us, who can be against us? So, not only does God accompany us, God is for you. The gospel may be summarized in four small words. God is for us. God is for me. There's no question that God wants his best for us. But he wants to ask. He wants to desire it. And so God is for us. No matter who you are, regardless of what you've done, in spite of where you have been in your relationship with Jesus, God is on your side. My wife and I, in different church settings, we've worked with alcoholics, those people on cocaine, drug people. We've worked with homeless people. I mean, I looked at her one time and I said, what else is there? I mean, I think we, and then there's something new that we have to work through. But God is for all the people. Those people that I visited in Lancaster County prison or upstate in the white collar prison, I mean, all the people that are in prison, God is for them. He's not against them. It doesn't make any difference what has happened in our life. God is still for us. Regardless of what you've done, in spite of where you may be in your relationship with Jesus, God is on your side. You are not on the battlefield alone. We are not a lone ranger. We have God walking beside us. He accompanies us. He is walking with you today, right now. He's with you. He's with me. In fact, let's look at some scriptures that talk about this. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. We trust in the name of Jesus. It's no accident that in graduations or in public arenas that they aren't allowed to mention the name Jesus, because it's the name above all names. So don't be afraid to cry out in the name of Jesus. When you pray, don't be afraid to pray in Jesus' name, because there's authority in the name of Jesus. It's a name above all names. And then we have in Psalm 118, verse 6, it says, the Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. Oh, we have that fear coming up here. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? The Lord is with me. Say that with me. The Lord is with me. Say it again. The Lord is with me. One more time. The Lord is with me. Now, this week, as you go through the week, you're going to have a situation where you need to remind yourself that the Lord is with me. You're right there, Lord. In the midst of this day that is all kinds of things are happening, and I didn't plan on it. It wasn't in my schedule. It wasn't in my schedule. And all this is happening, that we need to remind ourselves that the Lord is with us. We can depend on God. God wants to increase our faith. He doesn't want us to go on, you know, like the blind leading the blind. He wants us to be focused. That's why in Hebrews it says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter. He wants to perfect our faith. So we got to focus on him. We focus on our problem, we'll say, oh, I don't know how I can get out of this. But we focus on Jesus. He's the problem solver. He'll take care of it. The Lord is with me, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? And then we have Hebrews 13, verse 6, the second part of verse 6. God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Do you know when God says never, it means never? We can say never. You know, I remember one time I said I'd never do that again. We got to a situation, my wife looked at me and just laughed. And oh, that was really bad because I didn't really enjoy that. But anyway, when God says never, he means it. He means it. It's the truth. He's there with us. Whatever we're going through right now, God is with us. Jesus is sitting beside us. And then we have in 1 John 4, familiar verse, the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Jesus is inside of us. We have the Spirit of God inside of us. Whatever we're facing, he can handle it. Do you believe that? He can handle it, whatever we're facing. So I don't know, whatever problem has become a mountain for you, God can handle it. He's capable. He's been there before. He knows. And then the last one I want to look at is another verse that should be familiar. It says, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, that is fear, but a spirit of power. Did you get that? God has given each one of us a spirit of power. Now, I've got questions because I taught school for 20 years, so I have lots of questions. Why don't we use it? Why do we try to solve our own problems on our own strength and then wonder, Lord, where are you? And he's scratching his head saying, I'm here, but you didn't access me. You didn't call. You didn't cry out. Something happens when we cry out to God. If you like to study the Bible, study all the times where the phrase is used, and they cried out. And they cried out. And see what happens. See what happens. God desires for us to be more than conquerors because he accompanies us. He's there with us. He's dependable. He won't leave us. God has a plan to improve the quality of your life. He's got plans. Plans that our life would get better. I didn't say we wouldn't experience problems and hardships. Did you get that? But life with God gets better every day. Yes, there's pain. There's unexpected things, but life with God is worth it all. Because we have one who is a solid rock. He's a sure foundation. He's been there, done that. And we can't say, Lord, you've never experienced this, because he has. His experience. All that we ever could experience. For all of you, God has a purpose for your life. Jesus is actually knocking on the door of your heart, saying, first of all, let me in to your life. The first time, to receive him as our Savior. Second time, let me in to your life today. And how many times do we say, Lord, I don't have time for you today. My schedule is too booked. It's too busy. God's saying, that's all the more reason I need into your life today. He wants that communication. He wants that us to receive that spiritual food, because that's what takes us through the day, and he knows what we're going to face. He says, please surrender so I can take over in your life. I have good plans for you. In the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verse 28, I just want to read something here quick. John 20, verse 28. Something interesting happened here. In John 20, verse 28, Thomas, when he reached in and he didn't believe that Jesus really was there, he reached in and he put his hand in his side, and Jesus said, stop doubting, Thomas, and believe. And Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. In the Hebrew, he said, my Adonai, my Lord, my Master. You are my Master. God wants to be your master. Maybe that's not a nice word to use, but that's the way it is. He wants to be our master. And when we surrender our life to him, he takes over and he does things that we might look at, that's impossible, Lord. How'd you do that? But he does. We've seen many miracles in our lives. It didn't make sense. I mean, it's just story after story after story. One real quick one. We had a house fire. It's acting up back there. Had a house fire, lost everything, but every single Bible in the fire was saved, including one right in the middle of the fire. How did that happen? It's a long story, but that's a quick version. We know that today, as I mentioned, we live with lots of distractions. You know what distractions do? They keep us away from intimacy with Jesus. I'm just telling it like it is. I used to teach computers, I know. I mean, there's just so many, I mean, you can't, I went from pulling up to pay phone booth and trying to call, I'm bivocational in the world of business through the week, trying to call my boss and pay, raining and put the phone through the window and try to talk, to, now you don't have to worry about that. The pay phones, they're all but extinct. I mean, there might be some around, but distractions. Distractions keep us from intimacy with Jesus. They keep us from hanging out with God. They keep us from praying for our spouse and children. I just talked to someone this week, a person, one of the people I disciple, and I said, have you ever prayed for your wife? Have you ever asked her, how can I pray for you today? They said, whoa. He said, that is really radical. No, I wouldn't even think of that. That's a new thought. But I'm waiting to see if he follows through on that. Distractions keep us from hearing the voice of God in our life. I say, let Jesus take over. Let go and let God do what he wants to do in your life. And when we realize how helpless we are without God, and then humble ourselves, we are empowered by God because we've surrendered, and in our weakness we become strong. And then we are victorious in Christ. We are truly more than conquered. In the Bible, over and over, we see where Jesus hung out with people, all types of people. People that were lonely, people that were destitute, people that had disease, all kinds of people. Jesus wants to hang out with us just like he did with the people as he walked the world. The earth. It appears that a lot of things are against us, you may say. But since God is on our side, nothing can defeat us. Nothing can defeat us. And so God accompanies us. That's the first thing you want to look at. It's very important that we realize that as we walk through life, we've got someone right beside us, someone who leads the way like a trailblazer, someone behind us, someone on both sides. God is for us. Who can be against us? Secondly, Jesus is appealing to the Father. He's looking at the world. He's got a tear, if you can see a tear coming down there. He's looking at the world, and he's looking at our situation, and he's appealing to the Father. In fact, the Bible says that in our text, Christ Jesus is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Notice it says, for us again. For us. Those two words are very important because they include all of us. What's he doing? He's praying for us. He's praying for that difficult decision you need to make. He's praying for the relationship that has gone sour within your family. He's praying for your greatest need right now. He's praying for you. He's interceding. How can he do that with everyone at once? I have no idea. That's why I'm not God. That's why I'm simply a servant of Jesus. There is no problem too hard for God to solve. You can fill in the blanks. There is no problem too hard for God to solve. No problem. If I were to give you a sheet of paper and say on this list of paper, write your greatest problems right now, April 7th, 2013. What are those big problems? There is no problem too hard for God to solve. None. In Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, the Bible says this. Jesus is able to save completely. He is able to save completely those who come to God through him because he always lives to intercede for them. For them. And then also we have a scripture in Hebrews 4:16. Before I go to that, understand that Jesus personally involved on our behalf, seeing us in all of our struggles, everything that we face. And he's praying for us. He can only help us if we come to God in prayer. We ask for help. And so as we begin the day, Lord, I have no idea what today will hold for me, but I need your help. A simple prayer to pray. Help me today, Lord. Help me today, Jesus. Help me today, Holy Spirit. I need you today, Lord. I need you today, Jesus. I need you today, Holy Spirit. In that prayer, we are proclaiming our dependence upon Jesus, upon the Trinity. We're dependent. The Trinity works together. Way back, you probably know that it wasn't just God that created the world, right? I see some questions. Genesis 1. Genesis, first book of the Bible, chapter 1, verse 26. Then God said, let, what's the next word? Oh, us. Who's us? It's someone besides God, right? Let us. It doesn't say let me, let I. Let us. Oh, guess what? The Trinity was back working together. They have no beginning or ending. The Trinity always was. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. Let us. They work together. God wants us to work together with him. He doesn't want us to fight him. That causes a broken relationship and conflict. And that's not healthy. He wants us to experience spiritual health in our walk with Jesus. In Hebrews 4, verse 16, the Bible puts it like this. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Grace to help us in our time of need. Let's approach the throne of grace with confidence. God will not say, oh, get away from me. God's arms are open like this. He's saying, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Do we need rest? When I met with Pastor Ron this week, I said, be refreshed. Just be refreshed. Be refreshed. Rest. Just get away. Be refreshed. got too much going on. We need to just relax. Have a day of rest. Don't keep going and going because eventually your battery will wear out. Are you worried about some sin you've committed lately? Then confess them. Ask for forgiveness. Realize that even as you confess them, Jesus passed them on to God with a sticky note attached saying, already paid for, covered by my precious payment of blood. Is sickness too hard for God? No. Is overcoming fear too hard for God? No. I'll give you a clue. The answers are all no. Is depression too hard for God? No. Are financial difficulties too hard for God? No. Are negative circumstances too hard for God? No. The problem with my problems is I try to solve my problem. It doesn't work. I got those t-shirts. No matter what Satan might accuse us of, Jesus covered it already. It isn't our own efforts that bring the victory. It's God who gives the victory. God has done everything necessary to make us right with Him. He's brought us through to the point where nothing can overcome us. Christ has won the victory. That's why we are more than conquerors. He's won the victory. And then He handed the prize over to us. Say with me, I am complete in Christ. Another time. I am complete in Christ. Say also, I am a winner in Christ. Oh, that sounds good. One more time. I am a winner in Christ. One more thing. Say, God cares about what happens to me. God cares about what happens to me. God cares about what happens to me. Over and over and over. He cares about the details in our life. He will never abandon us. He looks at you and He sees His best. His prize. The potential. Are you ready for this? God has a call on every single person's life here. A call. I didn't want to be a preacher. That was not my top choice. If my wife would have known that, I'm not sure we'd have gotten married. But anyway, we didn't know that. That was a surprise. But we have to live according to the call right where God wants us. That is satisfying. Is it easy? No. By the way, I gave Him excuses for 7 years until I finally gave in. God sings a love song over us in Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. Here's what the Bible says. Zephaniah, you may be familiar with that. Toward the end of the Old Testament, chapter 3, verse 17, it says, the Lord your God is with you. Oh, there we have it again. He's on our team. He's on our side. He's with us. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with His love. He will rejoice over you with singing. God has a love song for us. That's how special we are to Him. The last thing I want to look at is we advance in trial. We advance in trial. In your bulletin, you can fill in the word advance, and then right underneath it, if you want to be a conqueror, you must be conquered. If you want to be a conqueror, you must be conquered. Jesus looked at what was facing Him. He understood about the cross and everything, and He said, not my will, but yours be done. Over and over, He said, I've only come to do the will of my Father. That was it. He surrendered to His Father. He allowed the Father to, quote, conquer him so that he was obedient to the will of his Father. He went the whole way for you and I. That's amazing. That's why we can sing Amazing Grace, Amazing Love. Somehow we feel like we don't like to be pushed around by God. We've got this in us. I don't know. It's just like children sharing toys. If the children come over and we got plenty of toys, why do they always want the same toy? You know, and then there's a fight and everything else. We need God to, we need to invite God and say, look, I lay down my own agenda. Here I am. As Isaiah said, here I am, Lord, send me. Whatever you want to do, Lord. But it's worth it all to see the face of Jesus at the end of life. To know that we've done what God wanted us to do. Yes, there's always those times we said no and we didn't make the right choice, but God is very patient with us and he's refining us. It's all right to pray, but be aware, be careful. If you pray, Lord, refine me today, be careful about praying that, because he will. He will. Lord, help me to be patient today. He will. He will. So be careful. How many of you realize that God wants the fruit of the Spirit flowing through us? Flowing through us. Just continuing to flow through us. We advance in triumph. The Bible says, but thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ. So as he was facing death, as Jesus was facing death, he submitted to his Father. He surrendered his own will to his Father's will. In the Bible, in 1 Corinthians 15:57, the scripture goes like this. It says, but thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God, he gives us the victory. And then also we have the scripture in Isaiah 43, 2 and 3, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I, now get this, I underlined it. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Your Savior. The names of God. I mean, everything is here. The holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. He's here. And then we see that no matter what situation we're in, we need to know that we are victorious in Christ at all times. One last scripture I want to look at here. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. They're all yes in Christ. No matter how many promises. They're all yes in Christ. So what promise do you need to hold on to and say, Lord, this is for me. This is what I need. They're all yes in Christ. The promises of God. There's an evangelist, Ron Dunn, that we had heard. He's since passed on to be with Jesus. But he said, triumphant procession refers to a custom that was common among the Roman armies. As soon as the soldiers had won the victory, they sent a herald who would run all the way back to the city of Rome, and he would run through the streets of the city announcing that the victory had been won. It is going ahead of our conquering hero and announcing to everybody that the victory has been won. And right behind the chariot were the officers of the defeated army who were chained to the chariot. Now, Paul was saying that there was a time when he was at war with Jesus Christ. There were hostilities between God and Paul. But the Lord Jesus had conquered him, and he had yielded to him in unconditional surrender. He had put Paul in the chains of his lordship. He was chained to the chariot. And everywhere Paul went, Christ led him in his triumphant procession. We must be conquered by Jesus Christ so that we can be chained to his chariot, and then we simply follow along in the wake of his victory. I say to you, if you want to be a conqueror, you must first be conquered. If you want to be an overcomer, you must first be overcome. If you want to be a master, you must first be mastered. If there is an area of repeated failure in your life, there is an area of your life over which Jesus Christ is not yet master or Lord. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, I'd like to read it out of the Good News Translation. He said, "All I want is to know Christ and to experience the power of his resurrection, to share in his sufferings and become like him in his death." I'll repeat. Paul said, "All I want to know is Christ and to experience the power of his resurrection, to share in his sufferings and become like him in his death." Paul got it. He knew. He spent the majority of his time in prison, and he wrote all these letters of the New Testament. He's been there. He knows what victory is all about. So the responsibility for victory in the Christian life, it's not mine. It's God's. It's God's. Jesus won the victories over 2,000 years ago. And we have the story of David. Well, let's look at it quick. David said, "All those gathered here will know that it is not this by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's. Today I tell you, the battle is the Lord's. It's the life of Jesus in me." That's what people need. What people need is to be touched with the presence of Jesus, and we'll never be the same. Then we'll see people as we go through our day saying, "What happened to you?" And you get an opportunity to share what Jesus is doing in your life. Can that happen at a grocery store? Can that happen at work? Can that happen in your neighborhood? Yes. If God opens the door, then it's your opportunity. We don't just experience God on Sunday. Sunday is like the practice. Monday through Saturday, that's a real thing. That's a real thing. That's where we have an opportunity to let people know what God is doing in our life. I'd like to just close this morning with inviting the worship team to come back, at least some of those who are going to come, and just invite you. Just have some questions, a few questions I want to look at. Just some questions. For each of us, the resurrection power of Jesus is available. Each one of us. We are alive in Christ. Jesus is alive forevermore. We too are alive in Christ. So what fear is consuming you today? What is your greatest fear that you need to come up and lay down at the altar? And by the way, whatever you lay down at the altar this morning, when you leave, don't come back and pick it up, okay? We have a tendency to lay things down and pick them back up again and say, "Lord, it's not working." But God's saying, you picked it up again. I'm convinced that you have some things in your life that you need to lay down at the altar. It could be for extended healing like we've had already. It could be a situation in your marriage that you simply need to lay down at the altar and begin a fresh, new marriage as a couple. I don't know what's going on in your life, but I do know that where there's people, there's needs. And I'm a person, I've got needs too. We all have things to lay down at the feet of Jesus. What is your impossibility? What do you need to lay down at the feet of Jesus? Will you surrender your fear? Will you surrender your difficult situation at the feet of Jesus? We read the Bible, we know the truth that Jesus' resurrection power is available to each one of us. But we are afraid to apply the truth. As you come forward, you will apply the truth. lay it down. Give God a chance in your life to do what you've longing to have him do. There is no problem too hard for God. Nothing is too difficult for God. Absolutely nothing. I've seen all kinds of breakthroughs. Believe me, God wants a breakthrough in your life today. April 7th, 2013. Write it on the calendar. Today is your day. Doesn't make any difference what has happened to you in the past month or week. God wants to do something special in your life today. That we might lose control of our situation. That's all right. That's exactly what God wants. He wants us to lose control so that he's in charge. Give God an opportunity to be in charge of your life. I can tell you, you'll never regret it. It's worth it all. Oh, that people would understand who God is, who Jesus is in our lives, the authority that we have, the victory that's available to us. There's no turning back. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. There's no turning back. Release it to Jesus this morning. Don't allow the issue of the unknown and the impossible to cause you to take back what you've laid down. Lay it down. Believe. God wants to help us in our daily struggles, but we have to loosen the grip. Don't come forward with an iron grip. Loosen the grip. Let go. Let it go. The situation that you're trying to solve and you know you can't, let God solve it. Give it to God. Do you understand the victory that Jesus won for each one of us on that resurrection morning? Lord, reveal your resurrection power to each one of us today. Burn in our hearts the victory that is ours in Christ, so that we no longer need to live in the flesh. It's not worth it. God has given us his spirit inside of us to be empowered. And he's commanded us daily, be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. I've said enough. The altar is open. Whatever God wants to do, just obey him. Obey him.
just what to do, yeah.
If you want to come for it, I have the anointing oil. If there's still anyone in the auditorium here that wants healing this morning, prayer for healing. The words that come to me that, in light of Craig's message, is when we walk with the Lord in the light of His love, what a glory He sheds on our way. What a witness to the marketplace, to our world we live in. What a glory He sheds on our way. Lord, bless you today. I welcome the prayer team. If there's anyone, to come forward, and Greg's available for prayer also. So bless you today, and enjoy the fellowship meal.